Well, we've been talking about the revelation of hearing. I don't know if this will be the last lesson on it or not, but whatever the Lord says, guess what I'm going to do? I will do that. Hallelujah. Because that's key to all of us. Amen? Amen. That I obey him and not necessarily what we like to hear. Now, how do we say faith comes by what? And hearing what? The word of faith. And how does power come? How does salvation come, brother? By the gospel, absolutely. But the gospel is what? Power. Amen. Don't you ever forget that one. The gospel is power. And in order to receive Jesus, the gospel has to be preached so faith can be heard. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'm just trying to get to my notes. And remember, I made note that whatever you can do without faith, God is not pleased with it. Go back and look at all the projects you got going on and make sure you need God to do it. Make sure you need God to do it. Because if you can do it in your own strength and you're not dialing God in it, faith is not there, which means God is not present. You're working out of your own energy. So we must protect the place that faith comes. And we said, where is that place? It's our heart, absolutely. That place is our hearts. That's called our garden. Woo, Jesus. That's called our garden. Now this morning, let's continue. Guarding or safekeeping our hearts is our responsibility. How many of you know that? So guarding and safekeeping my heart is not God's responsibility. It's mine. He will keep me as I keep it. I'll say it again. He will keep me as I keep it. See, it's the same assignment he gave Adam. He told Adam to keep the garden, and therefore Adam was kept because he kept the garden. Let's turn there to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 13. Well, let's start with verse 15. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. When you have it, say, I have it. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to do what? And to keep. So he was supposed to make it stay right. Then he was supposed to preserve it. Which means it tells me he had the ability or the anointing to carry it out, or else God would have never given him the assignment. So in you, if you are born again and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the power. Say, I have the power to keep me. Oh, so I got the power to keep my heart. You are not lacking power to keep your heart because you have it. God put it in you. And God commanded, look at verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of knowledge and good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. Excuse me. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, that was a strict commandment. How many of you know that was not an option for Adam? So keeping your heart is not an option. Because the day you don't keep it, you start dying. Things in your life start to begin to die. And it may not look like it. You know, I've worked with plants for a long time. And I got some plants, they look like they're still flourishing. But down at the root, something is happening. I had one plant to get attacked by aphids. And you didn't see them on the surface initially because they were working on the root. And by the time you recognize that they are there, the plan is almost destroyed. It's difficult to bring it back. In fact, you have to get rid of the soil, almost the pot, because they contaminate a pot once they get in it. And you really don't want to use the same pot that you had aphids in to put another plant in, because they adhere themselves to everything that's in that pot. Now look at Genesis chapter 3. We're going somewhere. I know I'm going back on some of the same points, but just stay close. Look at verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, who saw it? Women. I'm not going to talk about you this morning. I'm going to be nice to you. Now, Adam was given the assignment of keeping the garden. The woman liked the decorator. Now, she saw something in that garden that was forbidden, but she wanted to use it differently. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? I would see stuff in the house one way, and my husband would see it another way. Sometimes he win, sometimes I won, because of our perception. So the man was supposed to steer her away from that. Because she's seeing incorrectly. How many women know you cannot see the whole picture? Because the vision for the house don't go to you. It goes through the man. Women, you need to accept that. I know you're powerful in your own right. I know you got the Holy Spirit. But when it comes to the house, we're talking about a whole nother structure. That's why you shouldn't get married without these understandings. Because you're not going to be equal in the house. Spiritually, you will always be equal. There's male nor female, Greek nor Scythian, bond nor free when it comes to the spirit realm. When it comes to the natural arena, God set the order. And it was done on purpose. Now, if your man don't know how to lead, you need to pray for him. Because the vision not going to come to you. Because you're going to get it wrong. Your sight going to be wrong. Because you're trying to be out of position. You a helper. Say, I'm a helper. Okay. Now that might mess with somebody's apricots. But that's all right. Sometimes you need to throw them away because they do go bad. They sit out long enough, they're going to rot. So he says, the woman saw the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and she gave also unto her husband with her. Now he was standing about looking at her do this, because it says he was with her and he ate. And we saw the whole thing unraveled. And the Lord God, look at verse. Well, Miles will go and finish to read verse 7. And the eyes of them, what eyes? No. Mm-mm. They're natural eyes. Because they were spirits. Their natural eyes became open. They began to see naturally. They begin for the first time, they can only see naturally. And their eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. Woo, Jesus. I can hear God. So let me finish reading the scripture. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, they never had to do that before because they were covered in the glory. The glory is gone. I'm looking at you naturally for the first time. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Look at verse 11. And God said, who told thee that you were naked? Adam, who told you you were naked? You never heard me say that. Who told you you had to struggle? I didn't tell you that. Who told you you were a victim? I never said that to you. How do you know you're naked, Adam? Adam, who you been hanging out with? Who you been having a conversation with that's changed your view of how I see you? Who changed you? Because I didn't tell you any of these things that Adam is saying. He says, who told you that you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree? Have you disobeyed me, Adam? Have you disobeyed me? That's the only way you're going to hear, or not hear, rather, the voice of God when you're in disobedience. Adam, did you disobey me? Did you eat of the fruit of that tree that I commanded, say commanded, that you shouldn't eat it? I told you not to eat it. You ever had one of your children, for those that got children, you ever had one of your children say, look, I don't want you to go there. Go around and don't go through the kitchen. I just screw up the kitchen. My children had a habit of doing that. That's why I can use it. They will wait till I get the kitchen scrubbed and the floor still wet. Then all of a sudden they're dying of thirst. You know what I mean? You ever been there? Didn't I tell you not to walk on my floor while it's wet? Why you just got to resist me? See, there was a resistance that had developed out of conversating, say conversating, with the serpent. I just got to try it. So he wasn't hearing God the way he thought. He was really taking God for granted, like so many believers do today. I'm not going to really obey everything God tell me to do. I'm going to do just a little bit, but I'm going to be all right with God. You're in danger. And I'm here to sound the alarm. You are in danger. He says, did you eat the fruit that I told you not to eat? And the man said, the woman you gave me. See, women, this is why you can't step out of play, because the man gonna blame you. He's gonna blame you. When it doesn't go right, he got you to blame, because you're out of order. Because you're trying to see a job that's not yours. Ooh. You never thought how much Eve had to play in it. Adam was wrong because he catered to her. And we're going to see that down there as we keep reading. He really catered to her instead of correcting her. Man, when you know your wife wrong, quit coddling her so she don't be mad with you. Tell her the truth. She ain't going nowhere. Y'all scared of these women today. Y'all crazy. Mm-mm. This why, you know, my son and I, we got a little joke. It takes a real woman to be married to a Davis. Because my husband didn't bite his tongue. Now, he learned to be more diplomatic. But if he didn't like it, he didn't like it. And you're going to know he didn't like it. You didn't have to assume. You didn't have to guess. He's going to tell you, I don't like it. And your feelings will heal. And eventually you learn to make the adjustment to what he like. If you will obey, sometimes you find out his way is better than what you think. We're too stubborn to have it our way. So we can't hear God, and we're not listening to the man that's supposed to be leading us. How you hearing God and you won't hear your husband? Oops, that got out. Listen, sometimes your man gonna be wrong, but you gotta hear him. Let it play out so he can learn. Because your interference does not make him grow up. I don't know how long I've been saying it. As long as I've been teaching and preaching the word, I've been saying that. Your interference doesn't make him grow up. Because he's going to resist you. It's in the nature of the man. Y'all quiet this morning. Go ahead and say, teach it, Pastor. Teach it anyway. I have to, you know, I've seen marriages dissolve, break up, because the woman is so stubborn. If it can't be her way, it won't be no way. And that's not Bible. Say, I'm the helper. Okay. Can we have good suggestions? Absolutely. I believe every woman that's got that, I believe women are highly intelligent. I think men are super smart. And you're great when you learn how to work together. But when you fight against one another and you resist how God set the chain for you to hear. Your greatest comfort of hearing is when you're in your right position. You can hear a whole lot better as a helper. Those that are married. Now, those that are single, you still got to hear. You still got to be covered. Don't think you out there flailing in the wind all by yourself, because you're not. You're supposed to be covered. Somebody got to help see for you. That's when we're at our best. We work better when somebody else is doing the seeing. Watch this. And the Lord God said, and the man said, it's the woman you gave me. She gave me of the tree, and I ate, as though she forced it down his throat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, God didn't even answer Adam at that moment. And God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now she told the truth, because the serpent tricked her. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed. Said the serpent is cursed. So apparently crawling was not what he used to do. He used to walk upright. He says, now you're going to be cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shall thou go. And dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. So in other words, dust can be in your face all the time. And to this very day, do the snakes still crawl? Okay. So God must have been right. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Man. We would have had a baby easy if they hadn't messed up. Look what we had to go through to have babies today. He says, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. You say, what this got to do with me here? Everything. Look what verse 17. And unto Adam God said, because you listen and obey the voice of your wife, and you ate of the tree, I'm reading in my version, of which I commanded you not to eat, saying, he said, and he repeating to him what he said, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. He said, now the ground will not yield to you the way it did. He says, because now you not only have a hearing problem, but now you got a living problem. You got an issue about living that you never had before. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. See, now Jesus brought back the garden effect to us through his death, burial, and resurrection. So now what that does for me, I got to put myself in my mind in the position that Adam and Eve was before they fell. Because Jesus put us back in right union with the Father God. But because of sin that's in our atmosphere and that's all around us in this world, we have to do things just a tiny bit different. Now we got to do some more. We got to do some choosing just like Adam did. But we got to do some things that Adam may not have done. We got to take our spiritual position. Adam surrendered his. We've been giving it back. What you going to do with it? How you going to hear? What you going to use it for? Watch this. Blessed be the God, verse 3, and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We've been restored. Say, I've been restored. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So don't let the devil tell you a lie that you're an accident, incident, a mishap. You were chosen before the foundation of the world. Oh, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, all this got to do with my hearing and protecting my heart. Why? Because I need to know that I am blameless in the eyes of God. What Adam did is no longer my sin anymore. I'm not under that anymore. Jesus took care of that for me. So now I'm chosen. Say, I'm chosen. Say it again. I'm chosen. And I'm special. Oh, that sounds real good. I'm chosen and I'm special. Woo, Jesus. See, what Adam did, it cut off our ability to hear and talk to God. What Jesus did, he restored our ability to hear and to talk with God. Because God couldn't communicate the way he had with man from the inside. Everything had to be done from an external point of view. Because God was no longer inside of the man. But we have been chosen. And that's a good thing. That was his plan for us all the time. Even when Adam fell, this plan was always God's plan, that from the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Look at Hebrews 4. So you gotta ask yourself, who told you? Who told you the stuff you believe right now that goes against the word? Who told you that you can't make it? Who told you that life is hard? Who you been listening to? Who told you? Because that's not in the Bible. God didn't write that for you. Who told you that you have to struggle? Who told you you have to be sick? Who convinced you that God doesn't hear you unless you do a whole lot of works? Who convinced you that God doesn't love you? Who persuaded you? Who you been listening to? Who persuaded you . It's our allegiances that's affecting our hearing. Adam and Eve were hanging out with a serpent who couldn't stand God. You never hang out with your father's enemy. They come to divide and conquer. I don't hang out with anybody that hate God. I minister to you, but you're not going to be my homie. Forget that homie stuff. I don't care if we grew up next door all our life. You're not my homie. You ain't my friend like that because you hate my God. And I'm never going to embrace you until you love my Father. Because I know anything you say to me is coming to taint my hearing. Why do we keep allowing people that we know hate our God tell us how to live? God didn't put that in the Bible. These words were introduced to man by the serpent. Who told you you were afraid? Look at So let me read my notes here. See, the plan of the devil is to keep people not only away from God, but offended and away from God. See, when your hearing get messed up, usually because of offense. Adam must have been offended about something. He had been persuaded to be offended. You don't disobey God after having a kind of communion with God that Adam had and not be offended. Something took place between the conversation between him, the serpent, and his wife that created offense. And offense don't necessarily mean I'm mad with you as much as it is I think you're withholding something from me. That'll create an offense. If you think I got something that you need and I won't let you have it. See, that offense is what propelled them to disobey. That's why you had to be careful of offenses. Jesus said they come. Offenses do come. But the plan of the devil is to keep you offended. Why? Because he know how you hear is going to determine what you obey, and disobedience is going to stop you from hearing from God. He doesn't care how he gets you turned off. He just don't want you to hear what God has to say. So if I can keep you offended, I can call it racism, whatever you want to call it, but I'm going to keep you offended. I have run into too many so-called believers who are angry. And we're getting ready to do an election, but they're angry at one man. I'm going like, why are you angry at him? He didn't mess with your house. He didn't take no money out your bank account. If you follow me on Instagram, how many of y'all got my repost? What a young man up there. I was Thursday in prayer. I was sharing with them how that in 1913, our whole government got turned around. And you know, I've been saying that for years, and most people don't believe it. There was an organization formed called the United States Incorporated, not United States of America, which means they have been functioning. Almost every president we have elected have been sworn under the United States Incorporated. And I put it on Instagram. The young man explained it. And I didn't see it till last night. That's why I reposted it last night. And I'm going like, well, he must have been at my service on Thursday. I'm telling you, we got to stop living in this bubble so we can hear from God. And stop being offended. Because racism is not going to go away till this earth is cleaned up. So we might as well stop fighting that cause. It's not going to go away. And the biggest racism is Christians against Christians. Because it keeps us divided. That's the biggest racist problem that I see. You don't believe like I do? Okay, you don't vote for who I vote for? I don't be bothered with you. That's racist. Smile real big. They don't know I'm talking about you. We vote how we think. So if my thinking and my hearing is tainted, how am I vote right? You can't. If all I hear is what I see on TV, I can't hear God through that, because they're not going to bring God in that arena. You better go in your prayer closet and get the answer from God. And you need to dump everything you think about it into the trash can and say, Lord, tell me what to do. because I need to hear from you. And then be open for God to tell you the truth. Don't go in there with your little secret agenda, because you know the Spirit of God knows how to find you out. Turn to Matthew 6. Let's go to verse 14. I may go back to the other verses, chapter, I don't know. But listen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. Because you gotta ask yourself the questions. Who am I communicating with on a regular basis that's affecting my ability to hear God? Because every person you bring in your secret place. See, there are some people you just kind of casually, they don't really mess with your mind. But then there are people that are in your special place and they affect your train of thoughts. I got some people that if they're in my secret place, if they serve certain things, I have to weigh it depending on what they're saying to make sure I don't get out of sort, even if it's something I need to hear. I don't want to hear, because sometimes in handling business, you have to hear certain things in order to get it fixed. But I got to make sure that I'm balancing it by the Spirit of God so that I don't give an unrighteous judgment. Because I can't speak from my emotions. Because when you first hear it, it might do something to your emotion. That's why you got to be quick to hear, slow to what? Slow to speak. I have to settle down and I have to let the Spirit of God talk to me so I know how to give a righteous answer. Sometimes people do stuff because they just don't know better. Sometimes they're in disobedience. There's a different response. It looked like they both did the same thing, but the heart, only God knows. And you got to hear by the Spirit of God how to righteously judge. Because it's a different outcome for each one of them. Are you at Matthew 6? For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I want to read this out of another translation. And when you pray, make sure you forgive the faults of others so that your Father in heaven would also forgive you. But if you withhold forgiveness from others, your Father withholds forgiveness from you. Now, how you hear with unforgiveness? Because God is withholding forgiveness. You can't rewrite the Bible to fit your narrative. Stay mad with somebody for the last 15 years and think God answering your prayers. You know, the devil lets you get some stuff to keep you trapped. And you think God answering you and not necessarily God answering you. The devil setting you up. You can't be in unforgiveness and hear. Look at Proverbs. I'm walking this through because I'm telling you, it's time for us to hear by the Spirit of God and not through our emotions. Because we have been led by emotions so long. And it's gotten our nation into trouble because we won't take the time to hear about the Spirit of God. We just automatically go and do certain things, but that's an emotional reaction. You know, I recently had to deal with something where somebody wanted me to participate in something, but the way they were coming at me, it would have been an emotional attachment. And I'm going like, no, I got to be able to hear. I can't hear your voice telling me how to do it. If God doesn't tell me to participate, I ain't doing it. I don't care who you are. Because it's safer. I'd rather have you mad with me than God, since you are not my source. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity and the scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regard it. But you have said in not all my counsel and with none of my reproof. All, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear coming. So reckoning day coming. Let me read this out of the Passion Translation. Foolish ones, how much longer will you cling to your deception? Because we know there's a deception going out there. But it's keeping you from hearing. You got to see, you got to walk in discernment and hear. Because deception is strong. How much longer will you mock wisdom? You cynical scorners who fight the facts. You know, and people are fighting. You can bring written facts to people today. And they still say, no, that ain't the way it is. Because they're listening to somebody else. And they say they're saved. But yet, if I gave you the facts against another person, you believe everything negative. But if I put the facts before you about the person you worshiping, you tell me, no, that ain't true. They lying on him. I'm going, can't you see the mess our country is in? How that be a lie? You're deceived to want him back in office. You are deceived. Let me say this for all. Let me. I'm gonna stop skirting around it. Let me say it like I want to say it. Y'all just hold your horses. Now, if you don't like it, you can just go ahead and smile through it. If Trump was in office today, and all the mess that's in our nation, if he had allowed in the last 4 years over 8 million people to come into our country unvaccinated. While you being forced to be vaccinated, wear a mask, stay at home, can't go to church. But in 4 years, over 8 million people coming into our nation, y'all be hollering, y'all be ready to kill Trump. But this man has done unspeakable crimes against this nation. And ain't no Christian hollering out loud enough. Most Christians sitting back waiting for something to happen. The government is not your rescue. You're deceived. You are not hearing by the Spirit of God. You're hearing the voice of the enemy. There's no way you can go in there and vote for that same foolishness again and say you just got out of prayer. I defy everything you say. Prove me wrong that you're hearing by God. Prove me wrong. You can't. God done split the church. And God never, who told you that the government was your answer for your life? You waiting on the government to rescue you, give you more money, put you in a better house, give you a better housing plan. You better get up and pull out this word and see what God said about you. Because that's the only way that's going to happen. The devil is not the answer. And you're blaming God for something the devil is doing. That's what Adam did. He put the blame on the woman, but he was blaming God for the woman when he disobeyed. When you're in disobedience, you can't hear the accurate voice of God. You just can't. And when you're in denial about what's happening to our nation, you can't hear God because the cry of God is to fix this nation. He gave this earth to mankind to refix it and replenish it. The command is still the same. How are you going to do that agreeing with his enemy? And you know what? I know some of you, you ain't going to pay me no mind. You're going to vote the way you want to vote. I'm not trying to change your vote. I'm trying to get you to hear about the Spirit of God. Because if God can't get you to change, who am I to you? If you're egging God, I know you're egging me. I'm just a loud mouth woman telling you something you don't want to hear. That's the trouble the church is having today. We have reduced the word to an opinion. And everybody got their word. Everybody got their opinion. When will the word be the word unto us again? He says, how long will you cling to your deception? How much longer will you mock wisdom, you cynical scorners who fight the facts? Come back to your senses and be restored to reality. Don't even think about refusing my rebuke. Don't you know that I'm ready to pour out my spirit of wisdom upon you and bring you to the revelation of my words that will make your heart wise? I've called to you over and over, and still you refuse to come to me because you don't like the package that God sent. You don't care much for the person that God is using to send the message. And that's why people refuse it. They waiting for a celebrity to come and lie to them. Mm-hmm. I pleaded with you again and again, yet you turn a deaf ear to my voice. Woo, Jesus, dangerous. Because you have laughed at my counsel and have insisted on continuing in your stubbornness. I will laugh when your calamity comes and will turn away from you at the time of your disaster. Make a joke of my advice, will you? Then I'll make a joke of you. See, we don't want to see that side of God. And most people don't want to hear that scripture. But it's in there. It's in there. Which means he's requiring us to come back and hear his voice. He said, I got all this wisdom. I'm been calling you. Come back. Come back to this place of hearing. Come back to this place of hearing. Hearing my voice. My sheep know my voice. Come back and hear my voice. And I pour out wisdom on you. Ooh. I mean, that's a powerful scripture there to me. Look at Mark 13. I'll be closing in just a moment because I know some of y'all, you about ready to, but anyway. Hallelujah. I love you. And if you hear this insistence in my voice, because I know the danger of not hearing God. I see the outcome of it when you can't hear God. I see Christians, going to church is just a formality. They're not going to hear God anymore. It's just something we do. It's an activity. And I mean, you could be in a good word church and have that kind of attitude. Church is just something you do because you're used to it. When you should come to hear and hear by the Spirit of God, you should come hungry, ready to hear from God how to build your life better than it is right now, how to avoid the pitfalls, how not to fall into the traps of the enemy. That's why you come to hear. Mark 13, verse 5. And Jesus answering them began to say, take heed, lest any man deceive you. Sometimes it's your own family the devil will use to deceive you. Somebody so close to you. That's why you got to hear about the Spirit of God. And they don't even realize sometimes that they're being used. But you got to hear by the Spirit of God. For many shall come in my name, Jesus said, and saying, I'm Christ. A lot of people saying, yeah, I'm born again. Mm-hmm. I can lead you to the Lord. Don't you follow that. Don't you follow that. And shall deceive many. And when you shall hear wars and rumors, this is why I tell y'all, stop worrying about what's happening. Get back in this Bible. God, Jesus already told us this was going to happen. No, we don't like it because people dying while they playing war. And it's all about money. Has nothing to do with land and all. It's about power and money. I want more power. That means I got to get rid of somebody to have all your power. I want all your money. They're trying to erase the middle class. That's the only way you get socialism to work. You got to get rid of the people that's working. The poor people don't add much. Now, I'm not against poor people. Don't get me wrong. But you don't pay a lot of taxes. In fact, most poor people are depending on the taxpayers. The middle class is upholding. And when you remove the middle class, the poor people don't have a chance, and the rich people get away with murder. And I'm not against rich, because I believe you should be rich. That's why the church got to stop fighting so we can get what belongs to us. Because we got to be the head and not following. We should be the lender and not the borrower. Verse 7 again, and when you shall hear wars and rumors of wars, don't be troubled, for such things must needs to be. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. The devil is acting out because he know his time is short. So the kingdom of hell is coming against the kingdom of God. And there shall be earthquakes in divers places. We've heard so many earthquakes. I mean, here California is under a blizzard. You ever heard of such thing like that in California? They got the worst snowstorm they ever had. See, they didn't show that on y'all news, did they? Because that's going to mess with their climate change. You can't okay, go ahead, Pastor. There shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings. We're living in the beginnings of sorrows. The real sorrow ain't hit this earth yet. You wait till the church is out of here. That's when the sorrow's going to really hit them. Because there's nothing there to keep back the evil. But take heed, look at verse 9. But take heed to yourselves, for they're going to deliver you up to councils. And in the synagogue you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak. Neither do ye premeditate. Meditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour. He said, so you got to be able to hear by the Spirit of God. Because he said, don't try to get a pre-script. You need to hear an on-time word. Say an on-time word. So he said, in the time of trouble, he said, don't try to write your own script. Listen for my voice. I got a right now word. Oh, Jesus. He just told us what to do. He said, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that's what you speak. So whatever God gives me in my hour, that's what I speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Oh, what you going to do with that? He says, now, you got to listen for the Holy Ghost directions. And he'll tell you what to do in your hour of trouble. But you can't come with your red script. He said, don't even premeditate it. Didn't you just read that? Look at verse 12. This is why you got to be able to hear. Because now the brother shall betray the brother to death and the father the son. We see that happening in our nation. Children don't have any more regards for the parents, and the parents don't care nothing about the kids. And brothers are lying and causing one another to die. And children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. And see, it's just not a physical death. But if your children don't like who you are as a Christian, they will try to murder and your influence. That's the evilness that we walk in, live in this day. I've never known kids that just dislike the parents for no reason, seemingly. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure until the end, the same, said the same, shall be saved. Not the one that cowered down and surrendered their position like Adam. I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation, the same verses. And Jesus answered, at that time, deception will run rampant. So beware that you are not fooled. For many will appear on the scene claiming my authority or saying about themselves, I'm God's anointed, and they will lead many astray. You will hear rumors of wars nearby with more rumors of wars to come. And we've been hearing that one, right? Make sure that you are not thrown into a panic or given to your fears, for these things are destined to happen. Prepare for it, but still the end is not yet. For nations will go to war against each other, and kingdoms will clash with kingdoms, and there will be terrible earthquakes in places after places. Events of epic proportion, and there will be famines and riots. Do we have that? If you, I saw a clipping of San Francisco and Los Angeles, you wouldn't recognize them. It's so much poverty in what used to be beautiful cities. The streets are dirty, trash everywhere. The garbage not being picked up. Police won't even go in there. And the people are dying from drug addictions. Fentanyl has gone crazy in that community. This is how the first contractions and birth pains of the new age will begin. So be on your guard, for they will hand you over to the ruling councils, and you will be beaten in public gatherings, and you will stand trial before kings and high-ranking governmental leaders as an opportunity to testify to them on my behalf. But prior to the end of the age, the hope of the gospel must first be preached to all nations. This is why we got to get out and do our job. So when they put you under arrest and hand you over for trial, don't even give one thought about what you will say. Simply speak what the Holy Spirit gives you at that very moment. So you got to be able to hear. And you can't live in offense and hear. You can't be in disobedience and hear. You got to forgive quickly. Say, I forgive easily and quickly. I say that to myself all the time. And if somebody, you know, certain people say, well, Pastor, I didn't mean to do something. I say, I forgive easily. Don't worry about it. Sometimes my children might say something, you know, because they're a little tired or whatever. They get kind of a little short, you know, whatever. But they come back and say, Mama, forgive me. I said, I forgive easy. Don't worry about it. I'm not even pondering it anymore because I forgave it. That's a training. It's a deliberate training. You can't do that from your emotions. That has to be done by hearing. God says to forgive. Okay, I'm going to forgive. He didn't say lay down and let and be the rug for people. He said forgive them. Brothers will betray each other unto death, even a father his child. Children will rise up to take a stand against their parents and have them put to death. Expect to be hated by all because of your allegiance to my name, but determined to be faithful to the end, and you will be saved. And my last scripture for this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 and 34. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians 15, verse 33. Be not deceived. There's that word again. Said, don't be deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So you can start out right, hang out with the wrong people, and they'll transform you. They will corrupt you. It's kind of like having a half-rotten apple and you let it stay in with the good apples. What's going to happen to the good apples? They're going to go bad. And it's not but one rotten apple. But the longer it sits with the good apples, the more of a negative impact it's making. And if you don't remove it deliberately, it's going to make it so you lose all your apples. You're not going to be able to eat any of them. Ooh, Jesus. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. He said, and I speak this to your shame, because you say you're a believer and you don't know these things about God, because you stop hearing. You start hearing through your flesh and the things that's in our nation. You hearing based on what somebody else is talking. The Living Bible says, don't be fooled by those who say such things. If you listen to them, you will start acting like them. Get some sense and quit your sinning. For to your shame, I say it, some of you are not even Christians at all and have never really known God. Oh, well, now we see where the problem lies. A lot of people, they come to the altar, they say words, but they didn't commit. Saying the words don't make you saved. Because when you get born again, there's a transformation of the heart. And things do change when you get born again. You can't go back and keep sinning. And you ain't even got to be all of that. But the Spirit of God in you will begin to convict you. If you can sin without conviction, you may not be born again. Because the Spirit of God in you should convict you when you sin, when you lie, when you mistreat your brother or your sister. The Spirit of God should convict you. And if you can do all those things and never be convicted, you may not be born again. And you are deceived. So you're not hearing the voice of God. The devil set a trap for you. So Adam, who told you who you've been hanging out with, Adam? How you hear about you being naked? How do you hear about not having enough? Where you get that from? When Jesus came and gave us back everything that we lost. Because according to Acts 1, you have to turn there. And I mean, Acts 17, it says that he has done this so that every person would long for God. In other words, he died. Jesus came and died. He didn't die just so you could be churchified. He died so you can communicate. What's the point of getting born again and you won't communicate? How you like that? You got a person working in your company and they got their own narrative and they're doing what they want to do, but they want you to pay them. I don't think that's going to work out very long in your business, do you? What you going to do with them? You going to fire them. And they'll go right on thinking they're part of the company. And that, see, that's the deception. They keep right on lying and tell people they work for you. And you don't even know what they're doing. There's no communication. So they lie. They say, I know God. God said, no, you don't really know me. You don't know me. Come on, stand to your feet.